This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Layla Mutin, and I'm here to talk on a weekly basis with you, along with Dr. Hoffman, and during our Q&A segment, to take your calls, to take your questions. I'm not able to actually take calls because this is not live. This is pre-recorded. And I invite you to send me your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got an email here from Dora. Dora actually sent me a question in the past where we answered a question about strontium. I know Dr. Hoffman and I have talked a lot about strontium and how we really indicate it for full-blown osteoporosis, not for women or men with osteopenia. Osteopenia is really a created diagnosis by the pharmaceutical industry, in my opinion, and in many practitioners' opinions. But it's really osteoporosis, where we take a much more targeted, deliberate approach in taking a mineral such as strontium. That's the time to take it. Well, Dora is concerned because while she has osteopenia in her hip, she does have some osteoporosis in her spine, and apparently all of her scores are getting progressively worse despite taking Ostera for a while. Let me tell you about Ostera. Ostera is a supplement made from hops, you know, the stuff found in beer. That's why we like to joke that beer-drinking women don't really have osteoporosis. Could be the hops, or it could be the excess weight they're carrying from drinking all that beer. Anyway, I digress. Ostera is a supplement made from hops, and what these hops do in this particular formulation is they help to slow down the rapid turnover, which is a hallmark of osteoporosis. You want to slow down that rapid turnover. Now, bone is supposed to turn over. It's live tissue. Old bone is supposed to kind of metabolize out, and new bone is supposed to be formed via osteoclasts, osteoblasts, and all of that. That is the metabolism, the proper metabolism of bone. But when it's happening too quickly, then we have too much bone diminishing rather than the formation of new bone matrix. And this is how the bisphosphonates work. Your Boniva, your Fosamax, Actonel, Reclass, Prolia, all of those, they work by slowing down that bone turnover. But what happens is they slow it down so much that you're left with old brittle bone. And then those freaky type of fractures that happen when you didn't even fall down, but you might have tripped slightly walking off a curb. That's what you get with the bisphosphonates. Ostera does not work this way. Ostera works by gently slowing down that rapid turnover of bone. I've found it to work quite well. Although, that doesn't answer the whole story of Dora's progressing osteopenia to osteoporosis. Well, Dora, here are some of the things that we would find out during a consult besides your age, your height, your weight. First of all, it's even been said that any woman who weighs less than 127 pounds is at risk for osteoporosis. Oh my. But you might say, but wait, I'm only 5 feet tall. I shouldn't weigh as much as 127 pounds. I agree with you. You are absolutely right. You probably shouldn't weigh more than 110 pounds. So, really, besides height, weight, age, a thorough diet history. Are you overdoing refined carbohydrates like sugar? Sugar destroys our B vitamins and our minerals like magnesium. This could be a risk factor for osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is said to be an inflammatory condition. And if you're eating a highly inflammatory diet, like one in sugars and refined carbohydrates, this is a problem. Another thing, generally, as women get older, this is actually precisely the time to be increasing protein, not decreasing it. The myth of protein and kidney damage persists despite how many times we've pretty much debunked it. In fact, a woman at 58 needs double the amount of protein in her diet than a woman at 28 years of age. Believe it or not, it's true. We need that additional protein to support our bone health and metabolism. So it's important to be getting adequate amounts of particularly high biological value protein. I can't tell you how many vegan clients I have, men included, who have osteoporosis. These are men in their 50s with osteoporosis because they've been vegan for 20 plus years. The amount of physical activity is another important criteria for osteoporosis. We want emphasis on strength training. That means getting on the floor and doing push-ups, doing yoga, doing lunges and squats. Strength training outdoes cardio for keeping bones strong. We want to constantly be stressing our bones with more and more weight to make sure to keep our bones strong via our ligaments, which attach it to muscle, by stressing our muscles. So by keeping our muscles strong, we keep our bones strong as well. Also, Dora, I would be very interested to know, what are your DHEA levels, particularly the blood test DHEA sulfate? Maybe those levels are too low. And that would need to be addressed. I would also want to know, what are your magnesium levels, especially ionized magnesium and calcium? This is very, very telling. As well as vitamin D levels. And the proper vitamin D test is 25-OH vitamin D. That's 25-OH vitamin D, and you want it well above 40. I like to see vitamin D levels anywhere between 55 and 85. That's really where it should be. Not just for bone health, but for health throughout your life. Cancer prevention, for high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, fibromyalgia, muscle aches and pains, autoimmune diseases like MS, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's, Hashimoto's. Vitamin D is a critical nutrient for that. Other things that I would want to investigate. Maybe you have a malabsorption syndrome. You don't have to have a GI upset like chronic diarrhea or irritable bowel syndrome or some other thing where you might have changes or alterations in your bowel habits ranging from diarrhea or soft stool to constipation and back again. Dora, were you ever checked for gluten sensitivity or celiac disease? And if you have either, this would be a reason for progressing to osteoporosis. You're not absorbing your nutrition well, and it would be very telling to be tested for that. Other reasons you may be malabsorbing? Are you somebody who suffers from heartburn or gastroesophageal reflux disease? I'm talking about GERD. Have you ever taken a PPI in your life, a proton pump inhibitor, like Prilosec, like Nexium? Or maybe you're taking the H2 agonists like Zantac. Maybe you're taking others like Protonix. Maybe you're a chronic taker of Tums and Rolaids. This can cause malabsorption of your minerals because we need our acid to digest our food, protect us from foodborne illness. But we need, in order to digest our food, we need acid, and we need that acid to digest these micronutrients like vitamin D and magnesium, calcium, potassium, our omega-3s. We need all of those. Also, are you taking any steroid medication? Steroids are notorious for weakening our bones, as well as other drugs. So during a consult, Dora, these are the things that we would investigate and explore. And because so much prescription medication, these are muggers of our nutrition, we would want to make sure that you're being supplemented intelligently with the right micronutrients to make up for these prescription or over-the-counter medications that you may be taking. So, Dora, there are many reasons here, and these are what we would investigate during a consult to see why you've been progressing towards osteoporosis. And it's not just a matter of taking one supplement. Austera is great, but that's not the whole story about why your body, your individual biochemistry, is leading your bone health to more osteoporosis at this point. So it merits further investigation, and that's not something we would do on a podcast. That would require a consult. But I do thank you for this very, very thoughtful question, because these great questions are what's giving all of our listeners more food for thought on what a podcast is able to cover as opposed to a full consult, which is really the right way to go with any kind of condition or symptom that any of you may be experiencing. So, Dora, I thank you for that great question. Moving on to another topic, I know at least a couple of colleagues of mine, and I just came away from a terrific diabetes seminar where we covered gestational diabetes, and I've got an email from Kristen, and this question is very, very timely. Kristen says, she's an RD, Kristen says, I happen to be getting an influx of pregnant clients with pre-diagnosed diabetes. What are your recommendations for carbs, for weight gain for these women? I'm keeping them closer to 100 grams of carbs. Kristen, I have to tell you straight away, I completely agree with you there, especially coming off this diabetes seminar that I went to, where certified diabetes educators who are also RDs were teaching this, that with their pregnant clients, they do keep them closer to 100 grams of carbs to also support the pregnancy. Whereas an individual who's not pregnant, but who has full-blown type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes, we would put them on a much lower carb diet, less than 60, 50, even 40 grams. And basically, their blood sugars would dictate how low we go in somebody with diabetes. But for gestational diabetes, I believe that 100 grams of carbs is more the norm. And this is what I found out, actually, at the seminar that I went to, very, very comprehensive on all types of diabetes management. And, you know, the Institute of Medicine does remind us that it takes a full 120, 130 grams of carbohydrates a day to keep blood sugar burning metabolism going. So 100 grams of carbs is not fully throwing us into lipolysis ketosis, but kind of keeping us on the fence there. And I think that's probably more appropriate for a pregnant woman. And of course, checking all of those lab markers as she will with her obstetrician. Kristen is recommending probiotics, a prenatal with DHA. I am right there with you on that. I think probiotics even during pregnancy are great. A good prenatal will have more DHA than EPA. I love that because that's for the growing fetus, eye development, brain development. I also like to add, Kristen, acetylcholine, because acetylcholine can help boost that DHA for brain development. So I think acetylcholine is great. If you don't want to prescribe a supplement, there's plenty of acetylcholine in our egg yolks. So as long as you're eating plenty of eggs, as long as you're not allergic, that's terrific. I also like vitamin C during pregnancy because vitamin C has been shown to prevent eclampsia and preeclampsia, and that can be devastating in a pregnancy. So taking a 500 milligram vitamin C once or twice a day, I think is completely appropriate, or even to bowel tolerance, especially during cold and flu season. I think this is absolutely appropriate. So it's interesting that we're seeing more and more, and I'm seeing it too, gestational diabetes, or women diagnosed with diabetes the first time during their pregnancies. Or very interesting, I'll tell you about a case study of a woman, a client who has a history of PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, who later became pregnant and was found to have gestational diabetes. Unfortunately, at the time she was diagnosed with PCOS, it really wasn't completely addressed. And a hallmark of PCOS is insulin resistance. So PCOS is part of the whole pre-diabetes syndrome that we see in women with PCOS. It's often asked, which is coming first, the insulin resistance or the PCOS? I know many integrative physicians who would say that overweight and insulin resistance is happening first and then leading towards PCOS. However, I will say that I've seen enough skinny females with PCOS and no other symptom except irregular periods or maybe acne or maybe the cysts on their ovaries. But all of those symptoms are not necessarily happening in every female. Some of those females just have the one. And you wouldn't see insulin resistance looking at them. They're not overweight. They're not holding more abdominal fat or anything like that. So actually, I find it very, very interesting. So keeping a pregnant woman closer to, I would even give the range of carbs to between 75 to 110, maybe 115 grams of carbs a day, because it's impossible to count with exact precision the grams of carbohydrates you're taking in a day. It varies from day to day. You know, as long as by the end of the week, it's averaging out to about 100, all the better. And with regard to weight gain, I think it depends. You know, if that woman was overweight or obese at the time she becomes pregnant, she's probably not going to gain more than 11 pounds or 12 pounds, you know, the amount of weight that the pregnancy itself would actually put on. But if this woman was of normal weight, yeah, maybe she's going to gain 20 or 25 pounds. And if she was quite underweight, maybe she's going to gain about 30 pounds or so. So it's really different. It depends on how the woman started. And I think that also has everything to do with the progression to gestational diabetes or diabetes during pregnancy. So all of these are great. Kristen, thank you for your question. And I thank you all for sending your questions and comments. Send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. And Dora, I hope I've given you food for thought about your bone health and possibly what to do next. And you may need a consult. And again, thank you for all of your questions and comments. And thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.